forth. God bless you. God bless you. All right, so I just got to give a little props here. It's a little hot. Y'all can bring me down. I had it away from my face. I'm sorry. Give a little propage here. You see the blue lights? What do I do? Turn this one back off. Turn this one back off. Yeah, see the blue light? There's blue lights up here too. Can y'all see through me? So I got blue lights here, I got blue lights there. Okay, so halfway through worship, we had blue lights. Okay? The first part of worship, what did we have there, Charles? We had the red lights. So Charles spent the last week making sure that we had the dark side represented and the light side represented. Now, I don't know if anybody got that other than me, but I got it, buddy. Thank you. I appreciate it. I could just see it. I mean, it was like, oh, okay. I walked in. I was like, okay, we're Sith today. We're going to be Sith Lords today. Dark side. I'm fine with that. Okay. Sounds good. It's fun. And then he flipped it over to the light side, you know, and I was like, oh, man, way to go, boss man. So give it up. Y'all need to give it up for Charles. He has worked this week. Make sure that I had all the Star Wars music I could get. I don't know what else he's got in store for us. He may give sound effects during service. I have no idea what's going to happen today, and that's okay. Amen? Y'all good with that? Let's get into the Word, huh? Well, before I do that, I had a few jokes sent to me. Why does Princess Leia keep her hair tied up in buns? Why does Princess Leia keep her hair tied up in buns? So it doesn't hang solo. Where did Luke get his cybernetic hand? For those of y'all that are aware, the first trilogy, Luke had his hand cut off by Darth Vader at the end of Empire Strikes Back, which is the second movie in the first trilogy, right? So where did he get his cybernetic hand? Does anybody know? Secondhand store. Yes, amen. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. There you go. What did Darth Vader say when he walked into a vegetarian restaurant? I find your lack of steak disturbing. Yeah, pretty good, Stephen. Y'all didn't think that one was funny at all. I got zero chuckles. Dang, Brittany. Brittany sent me those. We're just dying on the vine here. It's just, yeah. Where does Princess Leia shop for her Father's Day gift? At the Darth Mall. Yeah, who said that one? Yeah, at the Darth Mall. I can tell y'all don't watch the movies. The movies are the jokes. Both. The Dodgers fan. Thus saith the Dodgers fan. Yeah. Best in the whole. Absolutely. What else? I mean, yeah, just absolutely. He fell asleep in them. He couldn't stay up. It's more for the intellectual. It is for those that are just looking to feel good. If you just want to eat popcorn and fall asleep, yeah, you want to watch something else. Yeah, Ginger likes them. That ought to tell you something right there. Yeah. What do you call an overpowered janitorial stormtrooper in the Death Star? What do you call an overpowered janitorial stormtrooper working in the Death Star? A super duper pooper trooper. You like that one? All right. Okay, everybody's had enough, Greg. Enough of it, Greg. Anyway, happy May the 4th. I enjoy this day. I enjoy the movies. I enjoy everything about it. And I am always able to pull out something out of that series that relates back to the Word. It's such an epic tale of the battle between good and evil that we can take and translate to our daily lives. And that's what I like the most about it, is that I can always take something out of it and apply it to where the word becomes relevant to me through it. if that makes sense. It's not like they're preaching to us. It's not what happened. And I don't even know if George Lucas is even saved. I have no idea. But I do know this, that the concepts that he's trying to convey can be used in the Christian walk and to bring light to what we should be doing on a daily basis. Amen? Yeah. So, yeah. You did get that out of it? Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate that. Sorry, it's warm in here. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hot. Y'all hot? No. No. Yeah. The lady from Bunky said, no, it's not hot. I couldn't help it. You asked me not to, so you asked me not to, and Miss Deb said that I needed to be careful. Yeah, she said I need to be careful. I was in trouble this week. Yeah. Y'all been talking about me all week. I see what's going on. Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Michelle. Wow. Michelle, she hit the nail on the head, didn't she, Miss Dorothy? Mm-hmm. You did warn me. You did. She warned me outside. So y'all have to understand, one of my major flaws is I think the entire universe revolves around me. If you don't know that about me, any of you that's been around me for any period of time, you know that Greg probably thinking everybody thinking about him. And that's true. And Michelle just went right at it. Yeah. Yeah. First step to rehab is acknowledging that there's a problem. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, no, Miss Thang up here in the front, she's given me plenty of numbers over the years. Need to call these folks. I'm going too. I'm going to get there in a minute. Don't rush me. So we had Christmas. Christmas was fun. We had Easter. Easter was a blast, right? And since Easter, I have just been sitting back going, well, what now? He sent his son as in the likeness of our flesh. Jesus laid down his authority and who he was to come with himself to come and live like us. After 33 and a half years of living like us, they crucified him. 3 days after that, he rose from the grave. Now what? Now what? He has given of you his son. He's given of you his word. His son's name, and he's even taken us into Pentecostal and given us the Spirit. Now what? What do we do? What do we do now? Do we just come here every Sunday, every Wednesday, make jokes, laugh about Greg, you know, laugh about Michelle being from Bunky? Is this all we do? No. What's now? What's next? What is it? It's living a life that is like a living epistle. It's a life that we live to preach the gospel. And as St. Francis of Assisi said, when necessary, use words. Our gospel preaching should not have to be us just from a pulpit on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Our gospel preaching should happen in every area of our life every single day. I have a word today that I hope helps us in this area. And I'm going to kind of stay on this for a little bit. I don't know how long. It might be a couple of weeks. It might be a couple of months. But we're going to stay on this for a little bit. And the big question that I'm asking you is, now what? I feel like God's even saying it. Okay. Now what? What are we going to do? Where are we going? What are we going to do? Amen. And I think it's a valid question. I know that I've been asking myself this since before we even had Easter. I was asking myself, you know, now what? What's the next steps? So let's get into it. I hope this works. I hope you guys like it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get something out of it. And if you don't, it's your business, not mine. Amen. Romans chapter 12, not 8, but chapter 12. We're going to get into it. Romans chapter 12. Can you get me there, Charles? Thank you. I beseech you, brethren and sisterins, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Keep going. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good acceptable, and perfect will of God. This scripture has been on me since Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I had a family reunion that I go to every year. It's an annual reunion. It's part of the Hemphill family whom I'm with. For those of you from the 60s and the 70s, you know of the singing Hemphills, or at least have heard of the singing Hemphills. Those are my people. That's the people that I come from on my mama's side. So they have an annual Bible study, basically prayer meeting, that we have every April 30th. And Stephen and I went Wednesday night. By the way, Stephen played guitar for what? How many hours? Four or five hours? Everybody gets prayed for. I do the messages. I do a little quick message, and then we lay hands on everybody. There is oil everywhere. It smells like frankincense and myrrh all over that room, all over the room. And the Lord has words for everyone, but the word that I took away that was mine when I took away was this. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Charles, will you show them my film clip, please?
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten. I know there is good in you. The Emperor had to give it from you fully. That was why you couldn't destroy me. That's why you won't bring me to your Emperor now.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do. The power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will too. You will be forced to kill me.
If that is your destiny,
seek your healing. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
It is too late. The Emperor will show you the true nature of the Force. He is your master now.
That is true.
Nice, huh? Yay! That's Return of the Jedi. Anyway. Are you asleep, Paul? Somebody bump Paul. Yeah, you were sleeping. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The clip I just showed you was a conversation between a father and a son. The father is Anakin Skywalker, whom the entire Star Wars epic is built around. The tale is built around this person called Anakin Skywalker. Luke Skywalker, who was the shorter person with no mechanical stuff on him, is his son. They didn't meet each other till later in life. Anakin is a prime example of how we can let thoughts take over and pressure us from the outside and make us conform to the world in which we live. Whereas Luke is a prime example of how we could take the thoughts that are given to us and allow ourselves to be transformed instead of conformed, but be transformed from the inside out into a completely different idea and something that makes sense. Are y'all with me? So whenever we talk about that, you know, Paul said that I do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We always have to remember that our mind is the piece of us that is not saved. Are y'all with me? Man is a three-part being. He's spirit, soul, and body. You are spirit, soul, and body, made in the image and the likeness of God. Very special thing. A thing that the angels look at and wish they could be. The angels look at you and wish they were like you. Angels don't have capability of making their own decisions. They are at the behest and the word of God only. They respond to the hearing of God's word. When they hear God's word, they respond to it, and that is what they do, and that is their existence. Now, they may be more powerful than us. They may have wings. They may be able to travel by the speed of sound or the speed of thought. But they're not like us. And it's the soul that separates that. So you are a spirit. Everybody understands this, right? You are a spirit that lives in a body. Your body will eventually one day be renewed. If you remember Jesus, whenever he came back to see the disciples, he said, come handle me. He said, I'm flesh and bone, which means that his blood was somewhere else, which is on the mercy seat. However, we won't get into all that. And he said, run your fingers through the holes in my hand and thrust your hand in my side. Y'all remember the story? You also remember in the story that all the doors and the windows were shut in the place where they had locked themselves in, and Jesus kind of appeared in there. He had this body that was could be handled, but yet at the same time, he just kind of showed up. So whenever we get whenever we die and move on, and Jesus comes back in a cloud, we are given new bodies to go live in heaven. You'll have a body in heaven. It'll be a glorified body that's given to you. At that point, your flesh will be made new. But until we get to that spot, your flesh still wants to do what your flesh wanted to do before you ever got saved. The day you came out of your mama, from that day to you draw your last breath, your flesh is going to remain the same. Now, we could work it out. We could try to put weight on it. We could try to pull weight off of it. But that thing's always going to want the same thing that it's always wanted, and it's never going to get away from it. It's just, that's the flesh. It's a part of this world. Then, we're a spirit that lives in that body. And then you'll find out, if you pay enough attention to enough people trying to preach, I say trying, that are preaching today, if you pay enough attention to books that are written, if you listen to some more religious kind of ideas that come out, there's this idea that the soul and the spirit are one. In fact, you'll listen, and some people actually use the terms interchangeably. And I don't have time to get on the difference, but there are two different Greek words that Paul actually penned. It's two different words that are there. Your soul and your spirit are not the same. But Hebrews tells us that you have to have the Word of God. that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. Without the light of God's word, you don't see the difference between the soul and the spirit. They seem to be one to you. And to me, it's a good indication of how much word is in somebody's life based on how they're referring to their soul and their spirit, whether they're putting them together or separating them. Now, don't get me wrong. They're close. They're awfully close, because it says he divides asunder the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. They're almost as close as your joints and your marrow. Your joints and your marrow are almost the same stuff. They're right here. They work together. They do things together to make things happen in this life, but they are not the same. My joints are not the same as the marrow in my bones. It's not the same. It's just not. So our spirit, whenever Jesus becomes the Lord of our lives, our spirit is changed completely. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I didn't quote it exactly right, but that's close enough. You have a new spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that your spirit and God's spirit are mixed up together into one. You become one spirit with Jesus. One spirit with him. Kool-Aid, water. Y'all remember when I did the Kool-Aid and water? Peanut butter and jelly. Carrots and peas. We won. We pulled together as one. Your body will eventually be renewed. Your spirit is made brand new to God. So the only deciding factor, the variance, I can't remember what Angel called it. Angel called it something. It's like a, what'd you call it? I don't remember either. She don't remember either. But it's like the Maverick. It's like the, you know, it gets to choose which way it wants to go. Is this right here? Every day when we wake up, our mind goes to running and we start making decisions. And that's the part that separates us from the rest of creation. We start making decisions. We start using our minds, which is called our soul. And James tells us that we have to save our soul by receiving the word of God. That without receiving the word of God, the soul will not be saved. I'll give you a prime example. I went and I got born again. Okay? I did it. 1987. Born again. A long time ago, wasn't it? First Baptist Church of Menden. I got dunked in the water by Dr. Prince himself. Amen. If you went to the First Baptist Church in the 1980s and you got dunked under water by Dr. Prince, you were guaranteed a place in heaven. I mean, they'd put it on your little letter there. Hey, you gone. You got in. Not a few years after that, I was fussing at my wife and hollering at my wife because she was reading the Word of God in our bedroom, and I told her I had no right in that place. Truth. Me. Get that thing out of here. It doesn't have no place in my bedchamber. So you see what I'm saying? You can get to the point where your mind, your soul, is so far removed from the Word of God that you don't even recognize it. And you've allowed yourself to be conformed to the world. If you take you back to Darth Vader, who is Anakin Skywalker, the one with the black suit looking thing, kind of robotic looking. He had to wear that because through a series of unfortunate decisions that he had made in his lifetime, he had lost his limbs and his body had been burned. So he had to have this machine so he could exist in this world. But because of the thoughts that had been given to him and the decisions that he was making because of those thoughts that were coming to him, he began to allow himself to be conformed to the world in which he was in. And that world changed him into what it wanted him to be. It wanted him to be a particular way. This world is not our home. Our spirit was not made for this place. Our spirit was made for another place up there. We exist here now to bring glory to God on this earth. While we're here, then when we go, the whole bit gets changed. We're not from here. We're not supposed to allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. The word conformed, real quick, means to conform oneself. You make the decision. of whether or not you're going to let the world pressure you into being what it wants you to be. We're all deciding stuff every day. We get to decide. You make the decision to conform yourself to another pattern. This is the Greek word. I don't know how to say the Greek word. I didn't even put it in here because it doesn't matter. What matters is what the Word of God is trying to tell us, is that we allow ourselves to be conformed to another pattern, a character, a way, a person we were not supposed to be. The world is constantly trying to pressure you and I into something we were never intended to be. The devil will send mounds upon mounds upon mounds of worry and problem and stuff and mess that we start paying attention to and dealing with. And don't get me wrong, we got to deal with stuff. But that stuff should not shape us into who we are today. It shouldn't. And in fact, the word to conform, has anybody ever seen a car part made when they used to make them out of metal? What they would do is they would have like a mold of what the thing's supposed to look like, and they'd have this metal that's just a sheet of metal, and then because of an enormous amount of pressure would be placed upon the metal and would squeeze and push the metal to make it be what it was supposed to be, and then you got a bumper on a car through all this massive pressure. To me, it's a perfect picture of our daily lives. There's all this pressure coming on us, attempting to conform us to some mold out there, to something that we're not supposed to be. Do not be conformed to this world. See, but the thing is that what's so great about the Word of God is God reveals to us that we have the right to choose whether or not we're going to let that thing conform us. We don't have to sit back and let things be as they, well, just it is what it is. No, it ain't. I hate to hear it is what it is, because it ain't. It ain't going to be what it is, not at all, ever. Because what's seen is temporary, right? What is unseen is eternal. What is, well, it is what it is. No, it ain't. It is not, because what's seen means that that's temporary and it's going to change. If I could see it, if I could put my hands on it, if I could look at it, if I could touch it, if I could be around it and I see it there, it's going to change. So it ain't what it is. It ain't. It ain't what it ain't. Because the things that I can't see are eternal. Those are the things that is what it is. And we allow ourselves to be conformed to this other pattern, to fashions oneself according to a conforming pattern. You fashion yourself. So the Word of God is telling us, do not fashion yourself into the world's pattern of who and what you should be. We choose whether or not we allow this process to happen. And the Word of God is telling us, don't let it happen. So how do I not let it happen? It says, but. Are y'all, we still got the scripture up? Throw that scripture up there, Charles, it's verse 2. I'm probably just going to stay there all day. I sent him at least 25 scriptures for this morning. But we're just going to do these. Do not be conformed to this world, comma. Pause. But, which is a conjunction into something else, but brings apart is it the negative of it? Is the opposite of what's just happening? So not only did he say, don't be conformed, do not, you is the understood subject, right? You do not be conformed to this world, comma. Let's pause about that. We've got to think about that. Don't be conformed to this world. We just talked about it, right? We actually had a pause in my sermon to cover the comma that was there. I expected y'all to clap on that one. Never mind. No, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But do something different. But change. I'm going to combine two ideas together. One, they're going to be opposing to each other. The first one is, don't let this thing happen. But secondly, do let this thing happen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Take you back to my clip. Luke, the young guy. He had allowed what was on the inside of him. If you watch the show and watch the stories, he allows what's on this hidden secret little thing that's on the inside of him to come out. And he transformed himself. The word right here is metamorpho. So, psi, something. It's a Greek deal. That means to change from the inside out like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. We are to allow ourselves to grow from the inside out. The Bible tells us to draw water from the wells of salvation. We got buckets that we can take and pull from what's on the inside of us. Because what's on the inside of us is the Spirit of God. Everything that we need for life and godliness is inside of us. It's not in this world. It's something eternal that you can't see. It's not here. You can't see it. It's eternal. That's where the it is what it is lives. It is what it is right here. It's right here on the inside of me. It's where the Spirit of God has taken up residence in me. And not only has He come to live in me, but He has brought everything that He has and everything that He needs me to be. And He has put it on the inside of me. What I must do is not let this world pressure me into being something opposite of that. I need to allow that to transform me into something new that God has created, that's not been brought about by the devil, that's not been brought about pressures of life, not been brought about by other people, but something that God has created me to be. I let that come out of me. Transformed how? How do I get transformed? I do it by renewing my mind to the Word of God. This thing says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that it's like a mirror, that it reflects back on us who we're supposed to be. I love to say supposed to be. Instead of supposed to be. Supposed to be. This thing is a mirror to reflect to you who you are and what's on the inside of you. This is a bucket. It is a book full of buckets. These are buckets to draw from the waters of salvation, the wells of salvation that are on the inside of us to help us transform into that brand new, fantastic, beautiful thing that God has created us to be. Y'all ready to go home, and so am I. That's not even the introduction. Don't let this world make you into something that God never intended for you to be. Don't let it do it. And the next time somebody says, well, it is what it is, you say, no, no, no. It ain't what it ain't. Because if I could see it, it's going to change. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what the devil has brought your way. I don't care the pressures that are on you. If you could see it, touch it, feel it, experience, it's going to change. What's not going to change is what God has placed on the inside of you. Draw from those wells of salvation. Get into the Word. Find out what He's got to say and use that as a bucket to pull out from the inside of you everything you need for life and godliness and walk in it. Amen. Y'all stand up. We got to go. I didn't have nearly enough time. My fault. We playing Star Wars. Woo! We got a life to live. It is what it is in you. That's the only place it takes like that. That's only is what it is in you. In right now are all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing that can stop you as long as you let what's inside come out. Instead of letting what's outside pressure us and conform us into what we're not supposed to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that Greg went long today and You finally made him hush. We're thankful, Lord, for Your good word. We thank You, Father, that as we become doers of Your word and not hearers, that we will experience the blessing that You intend. Father, bring to our remembrance this word to where we will constantly think about what we're allowing to take place in our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk this out, to bring You honor and glory, to turn into that which You've created us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody agree with that said? Amen. Deuces.